This morning we circle back to Maui, and joining us live in the studio is Noe Tanigawa with more on the housing situation on the Valley Isle. It's something that she's been tracking. But, you know, what can you tell us? What's the latest? What are you hearing about the shelter situation?
This is kind of wild, you know. I just talked to the folks over in Wailuku about a half hour ago. They said the weather was still kind of holding, but definitely the clouds were coming in. And someone just sent me a picture from up Kula. And let me tell you, definitely a pretty socked in up there right now. I did get to talk with Maui police in Lahaina. And they said that the weather was still kind of holding there about a half hour ago as well. But they said that they don't know where the homeless tend to go at these times. A lot maybe will go to the shelters that are open for everyone. But this officer said, other than that, they just sort of melt into the environment. She does not know where they go.
Yeah, hopefully maybe they go to family, maybe they can reconnect with folks there.
Well, especially on Maui, and in fact, especially in the Kihei area, a lot of people don't have family here. And this was what was really interesting, was to find out where, in fact, the homeless are on Maui. You know, Catherine, I was so lucky to get to meet Maud Cumming, who's the executive director of the Family Life Center. They're located. They have their central office there in Wailuku. And she reminisced back to the time when every family had, like, kind of an auntie or uncle who would just stay home and rake leaves all day. And just, you know, you took care of them. They stayed at home. They were a part of the family. And nobody really asked questions about them. And that was it. But she said that several things came together in the 80s, deinstitutionalizing mental patients, plus family, so much change. I mean, the population on Maui, you know, more than doubled in the last 40 years. So they've got a lot of forces at work, and that has ended up putting people out on the streets there, she feels.
And like you mentioned, a lot of folks don't have family there. Maybe they're transients.
That does happen on that island. But Maud did say that she's gone to, of course, homeless, you know, conventions all over the country, and she says every city, especially on the West Coast as well, they feel homeless come to their cities to be homeless, and we felt that as well. And, you know, there's been the Tourist Bureau effort here to send people back to their home places on the continent. Well, they've done that as well, but, you know, that doesn't always work out because they do not just send them over there to be homeless. They need to be going to a very specific connection. So Maud was so kind to you know, offered to kind of open up the view of the homeless there on her island. And she introduced me to someone, an outreach worker named Joey Schumacher. What a guy. He kindly took me in, you know, by the hand when I asked him, where are the homeless on Maui? Now, he's from California. He's lived and worked in Hawaii for almost 40 years now, though. And he spent the last 16 years on Maui. We took a tour. We're about to go on this tour.
So people really know me over here. It's a nice feeling. I mean, because when I first came here, everybody knew me as a drug dealer. And now I've got a good reputation over here.
He's really been through a lot. Joey's outreach territory is central Maui, so we headed on out of Wailuku, and on the way, we just sort of turned down a random side road. There was weedy, overgrown property on both sides and kind of shelters there.
For example, over here on the left, in the back over there where that red tarp is, this is like not even a house. They take some PVC pipe over to the fire hydrants or whatever, and then they have long extension cords that go over to their neighbor's house that connect to some electric over there. It kind of goes on and on.
I mean, this, can you imagine what that looks like? I mean, it's kind of weedy and overgrown, and then there are these kind of ad hoc shelters that work most of the time. Of course, this is the kind of time that you'd really worry about those connections, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Man, well, we got back on the road then and headed further toward Kihei, which is one major concentration of homeless on Maui. Joey says he was homeless himself. He lived for 2 years out of his truck. And he said that is not something that's very unusual. I mean, it's not something that was very hard to have happen to him on Maui. I mean, you know, he was working full time the entire time he was doing that. He had a gym membership so he could go shower, work out at the same time. He said the whole thing happens a lot there on Maui, especially in that area.
So that's what I deal with in Kihei. I have many, many, many clients that they live in their cars. And what a lot of folks will do too is they'll put a pole out. So they put a fishing pole out, and then it looks like they're just fishing. But hey, I always say, if you're gonna be homeless on Maui, why not live in down here in Kihei, right along the beautiful ocean? And look at this, you know?
No.
Yeah, it's like down in Papalawa. It's a beautiful beach all along the ocean there, and there's people living in buses and vans, and not just tents, you know.
And it's pretty much looking for public restrooms?
Yeah, people will congregate where there's food, water, and restrooms. So we're turning onto South Kihei Road. We're on North Kihei Road right now. This whole area back here, all this Kiawe off to the left, there's like 45 people living here. There might be more. I know that there is at least 45 people.
Hey, Maui guys, look, you're homeless. No wonder I can't even find you're homeless.
Right. And they're all inside. But then what they do is they come out. And unfortunately, it's just that, you know, a lot of people are what we call super users. You know, it's a revolving door at the emergency room and using all of the services. I have a lot of people that come from the mainland here.
This is specifically the Kihei area, where they estimate about 50% of the homeless in Kihei are males, 25 to 55 years old, not really looking for permanent shelter at the moment kind. And as Joey mentioned there, they're of all the homeless out there, and this is such an astonishing statistic, Maud echoed this as well, about 20% are the ones that we would see and that we notice and that use the services and are what they call the super users. But 80% of them are first-time and one-time-only homeless people. It just happens. And I asked, do people feel, do they know when they're about to become homeless? And their outreach worker said, oh, yeah, they feel it. They know. And they begin to do things they never thought they would do. They begin to lie to their landlords. They have more people move into the house so that they can afford the rent. Then one thing may go down. Maybe there's a health problem. Maybe somebody loses their job because of a health problem. Things, she says, catastrophic things happen, and usually it's not their fault.
Yeah,
they just slide off the bottom.
And it's interesting when you mention the fishing pole, you know, because there's the shame, yeah? You're like, oh, I'm fishing.
Yeah, and well, you know, especially in Kihei, that's where Joey said the kind of high maka-maka homeless are, and they don't want to be looking like they're just homeless. They want to be looking like they're doing something.
Yeah, and the point he makes about trust, though, of being an outreach worker, that's so important because, you know, I've been to a lot of these camps here on Oahu, and you do. You see the regulars, and then you kind of build a trust, and that way that's how you get your information, you know, your intel. You get to know the camp.
You are so right. And, you know, thank heaven for that kind of internal organization, because I got to talk with Stacy Lynn and Vernon Beach, who were recently housed there, as well as Kate and Frank Sandoval, and I can't thank them enough for their stories. I mean, they really pointed out how tough it is to live on the street. They just said they were continually afraid, always afraid, wondering where they were going to use the bathroom next. And it's expensive. They said they have to eat out all the time. They can't store anything. They can't keep anything. And a lot of people pay for gym memberships, pay for gas, pay for car repairs. I mean, and that car is another thing that's a huge expense that often you got to keep the car going.
Right, breaks down.
So you can go to work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's how you can slide out of your house.
Yeah.
These things happen. Because it's so expensive to live on Maui.
Yeah, well, thank you for that slice of life, mm-hmm. The homeless in Maui.
Should we take a look at whether we can really tolerate these high housing prices? All right, let's take a look at that next, because they're coming up with some ideas on Maui.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Noe.
Oh, thank you.
We've been talking with Noe Tanigawa about the housing situation on the Valley Isle. Look for her stories on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.